This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines this hour. IRGC spokesman says the assassination of the top Iranian military advisor by Israel is an indication of the regime's desperation. He stressed that Iran reserves the right to respond appropriately. Incessant and indiscriminate bombardments claimed the lives of more innocent civilians on day 82 of the Israeli genocidal war in Gaza. Also in the headlines, Palestinians in the West Bank mourn the latest victims of an Israeli drone attack on the Nur Shams refugee camp. This is news. Thanks for joining us. The spokesman for Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says the Israeli regime is seeking to spread its genocidal war on Gaza and the entire West Asia region by assassinating Iran's senior military advisor in Syria.
One of the reasons was that because the Israeli regime wants to spread this fear of war to borders outside Palestine, and they want to deflect public opinion from the Gaza war. The second point, which is important, is that the Israelis try to actually show off their dominance, their aerial dominance, let's say. And maybe these are the two reasons because of that assassination act that they committed. And maybe another reason is that Israel tries to to stir the sentiments of people, but this will never happen the same way that they have in mind because they're, because we know them well, and the revenge will be taken in such a way that it will deal a blow to the Zionists.
Ramazan Sharif made the comments in response to a question raised by the Press TV correspondent during a news conference in Tehran. He said the assassination of Brigadier General Saeed Razi Mousavi was part of the Israeli plan to turn the Gaza war into an American-Iranian conflict. He added that the Israeli assassination was out of desperation and aimed to cover up his defeat in Gaza. The IRGC spokesman warned that Israel must wait for a direct or indirect response, as Iran reserves the right to counter the Israeli assassination. He added the martyrdom of the Iranian commander will usher in a new era where the Zionist regime will be the loser. Sharif also touched upon the U.S. support for Israel, saying that Washington is violating international law by funding and backing the regime's crimes in Gaza.
The Iranian embassy in Syria held a memorial ceremony for the martyr, Brigadier General Saeed Razi Mousavi, who was assassinated by the criminal Israeli regime yesterday in the vicinity of Sayyida Zainab Shrine near Damascus. The funeral was attended by imported Syrian and Palestinian figures. Iranian Ambassador Hossein Akbari said that the Islamic Republic of Iran will not let this crime go unpunished.
The assassination of Saeed Razi is a violation of international norms and laws, as it targeted a military advisor of the Islamic Republic of Iran in Syria. Israel and the United States are well aware that the Islamic Republic of Iran and the axis of resistance will retaliate appropriately this killing in due time, and the retaliation will undoubtedly be severe.
We say to Netanyahu and his Zionist government that they are deluded if they think that they can present any victory to the Israeli public to cover up their defeat in Gaza and the resistance strikes in Yemen, southern Lebanon, and Iraq. Martyr Commander Razi Mousavi and Martyr Commander Haj Qasem Soleimani sought martyrdom and knew that this is the path to victory.
With sadness and rage, Damascus bid farewell to its noble martyr. A solemn funeral took off from Sayyida Ruqayya Shrine in the old city of Damascus and headed towards the Sayyida Zainab Shrine, where the participants chanted slogans demanding clear and decisive retaliation. The Iranian consulate in Aleppo also held a condolence gathering for the martyr, who left a positive impact on the city's residents.
These assassinations will not intimidate the resistance front. Rather, we will continue to fight the Israeli regime until Palestine is liberated. We pledge to the martyrs, including martyr Said Razi, that we will continue on their path. We will take this opportunity to offer condolences and congratulations to the Iranian people and the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei on the martyrdom of this important commander.
This is undoubtedly a loss for the axis of resistance, but the spirit of the martyr Said Razi lives on in these young fighters. The axis of resistance will continue in this great confrontation which Said Razi has laid the foundations for in the past with his blessed efforts and will continue to the future, God willing. This is a tremendous martyrdom that will have a significant impact. It's a blessing from God, the Almighty, upon the martyr and his family.
Said Razi Mousavi spent years serving the resistance front through his position as a logistical support official in Syria. He will now be remembered, like his comrade General Qasem Soleimani, as another Al-Quds martyr. The funeral today also highlighted the strong bond between Iran and Syria. Israel has once again shown its ugly nature by cowardly assassinating the commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guards Corps, Said Razi Mousavi. But the people across West Asia vow to resist the Israeli regime and its brutalities until a decisive victory is achieved. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Earlier, journalist and activist Habiba Jaghouri joined us with her take on the Israeli assassination of Iran's senior military advisor. Let's take a listen.
I also think that this was a target killing and not very random, because Sayyid Shahid Mousavi was a comrade of Sheikh Qasem Soleimani, and Sheikh Qasem Soleimani had long since used his skills and combat to fight Israeli aggression in the region when they had conducted terrorism on Syria and Iraq soil. It was an act of revenge. It was an act of desperation from Israel. It was a cowardly attack. It's absolutely right that they want to turn their genocide on Gaza and make it seem like an Israeli American versus Iran war. However, this just proves that they are on the losing side, because Iran is present in Iraq and Syria based on the request of the governments, based on the request of the people to combat the terrorism that America is also funding. I think the international community has to hold the U.S. highly accountable in this regard for the heinous crimes that Israel is committing, not just on the Gazan and Palestinian people, on the people of Lebanon, on Iraq and Syria and all around. And the fact that Israeli occupation forces are reporting higher death tolls in their own army since the beginning of the genocide, since the past few years, says a lot, that the resistance is prepared for the long-haul fight, that the resistance has the support of the international community who send their solidarity to the people of Gaza, and that Israel is losing the war. It's losing the war on all fronts. PR, militarily, how it's trying to wage war on Lebanon, Iraq, and Syria, it's a sign of their demise.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has criticized the West cultural and civilizational system for refusing to take part in discussions and research on women's issues. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said the Western civilization avoids discussions as it lacks logic. The leader said there is also an Islamic approach to these questions, adding that Islamic and Western perspectives on women's issues are at opposite ends. The leader noted that the West deals with women's issues by resorting to brouhaha, the cinema, cyberspace, and coercion. He added that such an approach has become all the rage in non-Western countries as well. Ayatollah Khamenei made the comments at a meeting with women and girls on National Women's Day. Academic and political analyst Hakim Esar-Iberia says numerous studies show that the goals of gender equality in Western countries have not been achieved due to the maltreatment of women and sexualization.
What we are witnessing in the West, and the results of the cultural, landscape, and the status of women in the West is a testament to the fact that that cultural way of life has not been an efficient way of life for women in the West. I have seen many studies that show that even the goal of sexual or gender equality has not been achieved because of women's sexualization in Western countries. There was a study by American Association of University Women that showed how sexual harassment has forced many women to even leave the workforce, to have lower wages, to have worse work status. And of course, you know, their health has been jeopardized because of that as well. We have studies related to women in American universities, how they are being affected by this cultural obsession with the sexualization of women and girls in the West, and including in the United States. There is a resolution basically by the American Psychological Association on sexual harassment on American campuses, which was published in February 2019. And there are many other studies and many other, facts about this issue. So on the one hand, this is a failed project in the West itself. And then on the other hand, you have the West trying to export this sort of cultural obsession with women's sexualization to other countries, including to Iran.
Day 82 of Israel's genocidal campaign in the Gaza Strip, the Israeli regime is continuing with its relentless bombardments, killing more innocent women and children. At least 6 Palestinians have been killed in the latest air attacks that hit northern Gaza. The Israeli army has also targeted the Nuseirat, Barej, and Maghazi refugee camps. In the south, the city of Khan Yunis has been the scene of deadly artillery strikes and air raids, the latest of which killed 20 people. The Palestinian Health Ministry says the regime has intensified attacks around the Nasser Hospital, raising concerns about the lives of thousands of people taking shelter there. The death toll now has surpassed 21,100. In the meantime, the World Health Organization has once again denounced the Israeli bloodbath in Gaza and warned about the dire humanitarian situation there.
We've seen children, women, young men, old men and women, people bleeding out. I, at the same time yesterday at Al-Aqsa, I saw a woman who had multiple gunshot wounds. An attempt was made to refer her, and she was referred back because she was bleeding so heavily. So, I mean, there's blood everywhere in these hospitals at the moment. We're seeing almost only trauma cases come through the door, and at a scale that's quite difficult to believe. It's a bloodbath, as we said before. It's carnage across Gaza at the moment. Health capacity is at about 20% of what it was 80 or so days ago. So almost all of the hospital beds, almost all of the hospital services have stopped functioning, either because the facilities themselves have been affected, because the staff have been forced to flee, because they run out of power, or they run out of medical supplies, or the staff have not been able to access them.
Meanwhile, fixed-line telecommunications and internet services have been completely shut down in Gaza amid relentless Israeli attacks. The Palestinian Red Crescent, whose headquarters in Khan Yunis was shelled and destroyed by Israel, has lost contact with its teams in Gaza. It has warned of a major challenge for ambulance and emergency crews to reach the wounded people. Palestinians have held a funeral for 6 victims of Israel's drone strike on the Nur Shams refugee camp in the West Bank province of Tul Karam. The mourners chanted slogans condemning the Israeli crimes against Palestinians in the West Bank and the besieged Gaza Strip. A general strike was also staged in Tul Karam, its surrounding areas and camps, to mourn the 6 young men. The camp raid, during which a number of structures were bulldozed, also left several people injured. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has reacted, saying that the deadly attack in Tul Karam does not intimidate the Palestinian people. Hamas called on Palestinians in the West Bank to continue with their resistance until they stop the regime's hostilities. Israeli forces and settlers have killed over 300 Palestinians in the West Bank since the beginning of the onslaught on Gaza. A Ramallah correspondent, Mona Kandil, joined us earlier with details about the ongoing Israeli atrocities in the occupied West Bank, including Tul Karam.
During the military operation that is still going on, Israeli forces have attacked Palestinians, opened fire at them. According to the doctors and paramedics in the hospital of Thabet, the government hospital, over 7 Palestinians were wounded, and many of those Palestinians, in addition to the 7th, of course, many of those had been beaten by the Israeli soldiers, and the Israeli forces have attacked the people while they were in ambulances on their way to the hospital. A Palestinian doctor had even revealed that one of those Palestinians had been stabbed by an Israeli soldier while he was inside the ambulance, and the Israeli forces have hindered the work of the ambulances. They prevented them from reaching the hospital, but after several hours, they were allowed to be transferred. It seems that the Israelis are meant, and they insist, not only to kill Palestinians, but also those who are being wounded. They want them dead. That's why Israeli forces are preventing Palestinian ambulances from reaching those who had been wounded and transferring them to hospitals. The case is not in Tul Karim. Every time Israeli forces open fire at Palestinians, whether it's a raid, whether at military checkpoints, every time they prevent Palestinian paramedics and ambulances from reaching the wounded and transferring them, of course, to hospitals. And this means they want Palestinians, all of them are dead. They don't want for the Palestinians to be wounded. And that's why they continue their aggression on a daily basis, of course.
Journalist and political analyst Munir Ahmad believes that Israel commits the worst crime by abducting dead Palestinians and then stealing their organs.
This is really the worst thing that U.S. and Israel could do to Palestinians. The genocide is, the heinous war crimes are gone unnoticed. Despite different voices coming against it from the people, from the states of different UN members. But unfortunately, I don't know what could stop this genocide. Now the 80 dead bodies that were decomposed and the organs of the bodies were stolen. What else could be the worst? This is the height of the war crime. And in this situation, we should expect, I believe, now is the time the states and UN General Assembly shall immediately come to rescue the innocent killings in Palestinian, and the Gaza shall be restored, and those powers who are against this genocide, they should come together to take any stringent action. And how I really don't believe if the U.S. administration or the U.S. government says anything to Netanyahu, and he would reject it. And this is really unbelievable statement from the U.S. government that we are trying to stop it, but the Israeli government is not taking their warnings.
Israeli occupation forces suffer more casualties as they press ahead with a ground invasion of the besieged Gaza Strip. The Israeli army has reported the killing of three more personnel in the fighting with Palestinian resistance fighters. At least 160 Israeli soldiers have been killed and nearly 900 injured since the regime launched its ground operation in Gaza. Palestinians say the fatalities among invading troops are much higher and that the regime is hiding the real number. Meanwhile, the Al-Quds Brigades, the military wing of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement, has hit an Israeli settlement in occupied territories with rockets. Palestinian resistance groups also keep inflicting losses on the Israeli military by targeting soldiers and armored vehicles. And that is it for World News. It's bye-bye for now. We'll be right back.
follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
Euromed Human Rights Monitor has renewed its call on the international community, especially the signatory states to the Geneva Convention, to carry out their responsibilities to provide protection for civilians in the Gaza Strip. It further stressed that the need for a permanent ceasefire has become urgent and that, in order to stop the ongoing genocide war, an immediate international investigation must be launched into the Zionist regime's horrific crimes. Any countries that remain silent are actively encouraging Israeli regime genocide, the rights group said. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, the Israeli regime army has executed dozens of elderly people in Gaza in direct shooting operations since October 7th, a human rights group has said. In a statement issued recently, Euromed Human Rights Monitor said, 1,049 elderly men and women have been killed so far, about 1% of the estimated 107,000 elderly people who live in the Gaza Strip, and 3.9% of all Palestinian deaths during the aggression. The majority of them were crushed to death under the debris of their homes or the shelter centers where they sought safety after Israeli aircraft bombed their homes or while being forced to seek basic necessities in the streets and marketplaces. Alarmingly, however, dozens were targeted in killings and failed executions, the group said. The Geneva-based organization stated that it had received horrifying testimony regarding killings and failed executions of several people over the age of 60. The statement added, these incidents included troops shooting elderly people immediately after ordering them to evacuate their homes and in some cases executing them just moments after their release from hours or days of arbitrary detention. The group also stated the elderly are paying a high price for the disproportionate attacks carried out by Israeli forces, as hundreds of them have been killed in Israel's genocide and thousands more injured. According to the group, numerous elderly civilians, including both men and women over the age of 70 and even 80, have experienced detention. It added, testimonies from released detainees affirm that they were denied access to treatment and subjected to torture and abuse regardless of their difficult health situation and/or advanced age. A According to Euromed Monitor, Israel is waging a campaign of widespread punishment and killing and oppressing Palestinian society's most vulnerable groups in a way that is seldom seen in the modern history of wars or armed conflicts. The organization renewed its call on the international community, especially the signatory states to the Geneva Convention, to carry out their responsibilities to provide protection for civilians in the Gaza Strip. According to Gaza's Ministry of Health, 20,424 Palestinians have been killed and 54,036 wounded in the Zionist regime's ongoing genocide in Gaza starting on October 7th. Palestinian and international estimates say that the majority of those killed and wounded are women and children. The website of Euromed Human Rights Monitor wrote, the Geneva-based organization stated that it had received horrifying testimony regarding killings and field executions of several people over the age of 60. These incidents included troops shooting elderly people immediately after ordering them to evacuate their homes and in some cases executing them just moments after their release from hours or days of arbitrary detention. According to Euromed Monitor, the elderly Dr. Akram Abu Hasira and his wife were shot and left to bleed to death by the Zionist regime forces on Thursday, December 21st, after being forcibly evacuated from their home on Yarmouk Street in Gaza City. The Zionist regime's troops then set fire to their home. Their son, Dr. Mahmoud Abu Hasira, reported that after the Zionist regime forces withdrew from the area, their family managed to bury the couple's bodies. Furthermore, Ahmad Suleiman Hassan Muhammad Abdul Al, a 60-year-old mentally ill man, was shot and killed in his Jabalia camp home on December 13th, said Euromed Monitor, adding his killing occurred after Israeli regime troops stormed the camp and Abdul Al's home after a days-long siege on the Yemeni hospital. Abdul Nasser Khadar Habub, 62, was also killed, Euromed Monitor reported, when Israeli regime forces fired an artillery shell at him shortly after his release from a two-day detention. This incident also claimed the lives of Palestine University's College of Information Technology Dean, Dr. Ahmad Hamdi Abu Absa, 38. An eyewitness told Euromed Monitor that Habub and his family took refuge in the Holy Family School after an Israeli regime bombing targeted a house in which they were taking refuge and that they had previously fled their own home due to the heavy Israeli regime bombing of Gaza City. The day after the family's arrival at the school on December 8, the Zionist regime forces stormed the building and abducted all the men and some women, stripping the men and taking them to an unknown destination. After midnight on December 10, the Zionist regime forces released a group of abductees, including multiple elderly people, then targeted them only minutes later with a tank shell and a quadcopter flying over their heads, causing the death of Habub along with the academic Abu Hafsa. Euromed Monitor also documented the execution of an elderly man named Nawaf Muhammad Musa Azain on December 10th during the evacuation of the Auni al-Harthani school in Beit Lahia project in northern Gaza. The Beit Hanun resident Azain had been displaced with his family several times before the Zionist regime forces stormed the school where they were taking refuge. He was shot in the head, human rights organization reported. The Euromed Monitor team further documented the execution of Bashir Haji, 71 of Gaza City's Zeytun neighborhood. Haji was killed by the Zionist regime forces while attempting to cross Salahuddin the Strip's main road on November 10th. His murder occurred shortly after the Zionist regime army published a picture showing one of its troops talking to Haji in the picture. The troop is pretending to be protecting and assisting Palestinian civilians during their displacement. Hala Haji, the granddaughter of the elderly Haji, told the Euromed monitor team that her grandfather, who appeared in the Zionist regime army photo, was brutally executed while crossing the displacement road. He died after being shot multiple times in the head and back, she revealed.
Ocean of Dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. So, dear listeners, Allah willing, in this program, we will finish talking about the things we shouldn't ask from the Almighty Allah in our supplications. Having a short review over what we said petition and contrary to the norms of the Almighty Allah in the universe and life is from among the things we shouldn't pray for to the Almighty Allah, as is praying for illegal things and wishing the eradication of blessings from the others, and also petition against the advantage of the supplicants.
Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-khalq, basit al-rizq, faliq al-asbah, dhil jalal wal-ikram, wal-fadl wal-in'am, alladhi ba'uda fala yura, wa qaruba fashahida an-najwa.
The last of what we were discussing was not to invoke evil upon the believers, since only those hearts which are filled with love are about to attract the Almighty Allah's mercy. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam narrates from his fathers and they from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah the Blessed, the Exalted sees the inhabitants of a city to have exceeded the boundaries in wrongdoing, while among them are three believers, then He the Majestic calls out to them, O you who disobey me, had it not been for the believers who are amidst you, loving each other under the shadow of my majesty, building my land and mosques with their prayers, and pleading for my forgiveness, I would have indeed sent down my punishment upon you.
In this regard, also Jamil bin Darraj narrates from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the love of a person for his brothers in faith is a merit for him near Allah. And he whom Allah inspires with the love of his brothers, then he is loved by Allah. And whosoever is loved by Allah, He will give him his reward in the full on the Day of Judgment. So,
We would understand by now that loving hearts cause Almighty Allah's mercy to be sent down upon us. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, when the two believers meet each other and shake hands, Allah the Exalted sends down one part of mercy upon them, while another 99 parts of that mercy are for the one who is more ardent in his love for his brother. If they stand, the mercy embraces them, and if they sit to talk to each other, the guardian angels say to one another, move away from them, as they might be talking of a secret which Allah has concealed from us. In a rather long tradition, Ishaq bin Ammar reports from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when two believers embrace each other, the mercy of Allah surrounds them, and if they continue to do so, not intending by it the transitory wares of the life of this world, it is said to them, you have been forgiven, so start afresh your life without sins. When they begin to inquire about each other, the angels say to one another, distance yourself from them, for they might have a secret which Allah has concealed from us. And as loving hearts cause the Almighty Allah's mercy, on the other hand, harboring deceit and grudge for the believers causes the wrath of Allah. And it is actually related to our subject, since it impedes the supplicant as well as his prayer from Allah when he harbors ghish or deceit for the believers.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo kashti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedast. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala va ast. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good, about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too, it's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
The Holy Prophet ﷺ has said, he who spends a night while he has in his heart some kind of deception towards his Muslim brother, then he has spent the night in the wrath of Allah, and he shall enter the morning in the wrath of Allah unless he pleads for forgiveness and returns to the right conduct. And if he dies on the same state, he has died on a religion other than Islam. So Allah never likes the two believers who are having grudge or any kind of deceit in their minds, and Allah never looks at those who hate the believers. As the last tradition regarding this matter, Imam Ali alayhi salam narrates from the Holy Prophet, the wicked of the people is he who hates the believers and is hated by them. those who cause a split between the beloved ones. They are those whom Allah shall not look at, nor shall He purify on the Day of Judgment. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. The war industry. Part 2.
What do you know about war? They'll tell you it's about patriotism, democracy, or some shit about the other guy hating our freedom. But you want to know what it's really about? What do you see? A kid from Arkansas.
If you ask me if George Bush did the right thing that he invaded Iraq, I'll say no. But if you ask me if I'm happy, I'll say, of course I'm happy. I hope he'll invade more countries because it's really good for our business. This is what arms dealer Efraim Diveroli said a few years ago. He had an arms company named AEY. In 2005, Efraim was walking on the street. He came across David Packhouse, his former classmate. He suggested his friend to join him and establish a small firm so they can sell more arms.
Excuse me, a 22-year-old young man. His name is Efraim Diveroli. He's the CEO, yes, with a massage therapist named David Packhouse, a former masseur.
David was a seasoned marketer. He was really great in passing off anything to anyone. So Efraim tried to bring him on board. Meanwhile, arms dealership was Efraim's family business. David agreed, and they started their partnership. After a few small projects, they heard some news. The Pentagon had launched a tender for a $300 million project, and private security and military firms could take part. Many companies received the Pentagon's announcement, but Efraim and David had the trump card. They were supported by the Pentagon within the framework of helping small entrepreneurs. If you think that only arms manufacturing companies benefit from wars, you're badly mistaken. Western governments have prepared packages to complete their profiteering cycle. They unveil the packages based on the demands they receive from governments or tribes. Another part of the money-making cycle in war is completed by private military companies. The companies provide security and military services and usher in handsome amounts of money to their countries.
Companies that have been operating in Iraq now doing things like counter-piracy operations off Somalia, to the emergence of Chinese private security companies operating in Africa, or the Russians use private contractors during their Crimea operation.
They just sit in their offices and supply the demands.
In fact, business is so good that the global market for private security services is projected to reach $218 billion in 2014.
These demands are about people, bullets, missiles, and military training. Companies get money to supply all kinds of military demands. These companies are called contractors. It's a euphemistic term for those who were called mercenaries in the past.
Outsourcing is always about cost savings. When we look at the future frontiers of the private military industry, they reflect the next frontiers of war.
Tonight, British servicemen and women are engaged from air, land, and sea to remove Saddam Hussein from power and disarm Iraq of its weapons of mass destruction.
US officials at the time supposed that the war would take less than a month. They initiated the wars in West Asia, and the aftershocks are still felt after two decades. Americans soon realized that they couldn't deploy forces to the two countries because they didn't have sufficient troops. To solve the problem, they decided to pull their forces out of the countries and replace them with the contractors, namely the mercenaries. Hiring mercenaries through private security services companies was a solution the Bush administration came up with and the Obama administration supported.
The American Iraqi Solutions Group has been providing security here since 2004. Its president acknowledges things have gotten more difficult for private security contractors in Iraq since U.S. troops withdrew from the country at the end of 2011.
When the U.S. invaded Afghanistan on the pretext of fighting with Al-Qaeda, David Packhouse and his friend Ephraim won the tender to provide arms for the wars. The tender was titled The Demand for Substandard Munitions. It implied that the U.S. Army had not classified its security and the main players in the army were not involved in the transactions. The Bush administration at the time decided to equip Afghanistan's National Army.
The United States military, and we will prevail.
Now the U.S. was working with a private security firm not known until then, and it was hiring mercenaries as well. Until 2003, the contractors suffered only 4% of the fatalities in Iraq and Afghanistan. But in 2010, the casualties of the private firms exceeded those of the army forces. It was the first time in history. The defeat of the armed contractors left a detrimental impact. In 2007, in Baghdad's Al-Nisour Square, a few Blackwater contractors started shooting and killed 17 Iraqi civilians.
In September of 2007, in downtown Baghdad, a Blackwater PSD, or personal security detail, is escorting a State Department convoy and says insurgents fired on them.
This convoy felt like they were under attack and they just opened up.
Even though Blackwater was not famous until then, that incident disgraced the contractor. Blackwater was established in 1997 in the US. The firm signed its first contract in October 2000 after an attack on USS Cole off Yemen's port. The firm won the tender and took on training 100,000 Marines. After the deal, the owner of the company, Eric Prince, bought a plot of land with an area of 28 square kilometers on the Virginia-North Carolina border and set up its military establishment and advanced services.
The fact is, contractors have been part of American military history, they've been part of world military history from the beginning, and will be in the future.
Prince's company initially provided the U.S. Army and police services, including shooting range and establishing centers for military training.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.